Most likely you've never heard of a man by the name of John Wesley Powell, but you're just about to. John Wesley Powell was a one-armed veteran of the Civil War, and he led the very first expedition down the Colorado River through the Grand Canyon. Can you imagine that? Being the first person to lead an expedition through the Grand Canyon. What an incredible thing. You'd be 3/4 of a mile under the surface of the earth, down in this gorge, trying to navigate all this crazy stuff. And they had spent weeks on the river. Their supplies and their food was running very low. That they had terrible whirlpools. There was rapids. There was white water that was just spinning their ships around just uncontrollably. And as they stood on the shore, they looked down the river, and there was no end in sight. All they could see was more rapids. All they could see was raging white water, even worse than what they had already endured and survived. The men had no idea how close they were to the end of the Grand Canyon, because nobody had gone down the river yet. They were the first. So how are they supposed to know how much more of this do we have to take? I'm sure there were people in the boat saying, how many more miles? Are we there yet? Those kinds of things. Not everybody thought that this was something they should keep doing. John Wesley Powell, though, the leader of the group, he believed they were almost through the end of the Grand Canyon. One evening, there was a Captain Howland who asked if he could speak privately with their leader. So Howland and Powell, they walked a ways down the riverbank, and they had a conversation. Howland felt that the best option for the team was to abandon the ships right there, climb out of the canyon, and then walk about 75 miles to the nearest Mormon settlement. And so as they considered this, Powell thought, that's probably not the best thing to do, and so they had a difference of opinion. And as both men had to make a decision as to what they were going to be doing with the rest of this trip. Should they stay where they are, keep the present course, or would they want to abandon their original course and be willing to try something completely new and something different? The next morning, Howell and two of his friends, they climbed out of the canyon and began walking toward the Mormon settlement. The remaining people who were there in Powell's camp, they, with renewed vigor, climbed into their boats, and they took off for the white water. And for two more days, they slaved, and they worked their way, they portaged, they did everything they could in order to get through the waters that were just threatening to wash these guys downstream for good. Finally, after 2 days, they broke free of the Grand Canyon. And they continued to coast down the Colorado River. Howland and his men never did reach the Mormon settlement. They died in the desert at the hands of Native American tribesmen. Can we all agree on something this morning? Choices are very important, aren't they? Some of the choices we make in life, they are so small and inconsequential, they don't mean anything at all. But some choices, quite frankly, are life-altering. That whatever we make at that point in time, it changes the trajectory of our lives. It might lead us into some incredible blessings, or it might lead to some terrible bondage. But we do know that the choices we make have direct impact on the way that we live. This morning, I want to do something with you. I want to walk down the riverbank with you for a while. I'd like to have a talk with you. I'd like to talk to you about who we are as a church and how we have gotten this far on our current venture. I also want to share with you where we're going and how we're going to get there. I'd like for you just to bow your heads with me and pray as we look to the Lord this morning. Heavenly Father, we know we need you. We know that without you, we can do absolutely nothing. We also know that we can do all things through Christ, who gives us strength. And so we look to Jesus Christ this morning, asking for his help, asking for his leadership, asking that you would use our time as we have gathered here in your house, that we might know the plans you have for us. We want to take steps forward in your plans. And we just ask that you would make them so clear to us that we would know that deep in our souls we would hear the voice of God saying, "This is the way, walk in it." And so, Father, it is with that heart that we come before you today as we open your word and we open our hearts to you and to all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy is a book in the Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You will find Deuteronomy right after Numbers, so very early in the Bible there. Deuteronomy is a book that gives a lot of different, recounts a lot of different faithfulness of God and also sets up some guidelines for how these people are supposed to be living in the world as individuals who are trying to follow God. Now, Moses, he is addressing God's people. God had just recently led them out of captivity from Egypt, and he was leading them on toward the promised land. And they were at a very important place. What I'm going to read to you, it took place at a very important place geographically. It's a place called Mount Sinai. And it was at Mount Sinai that God did some incredible things for the nation of Israel. It was there at Mount Sinai God gave the Ten Commandments. It was also at Mount Sinai that Israel, they created a gold calf and they worshiped it instead of worshiping God. Not everything there at Mount Sinai was good. It was also at Mount Sinai that the people, they heard God's voice. They learned to listen to him. Didn't always obey him, but they listened to him anyway. Mount Sinai is the place that God led that nation to, but it, as meaningful as Mount Sinai was, God's intention for them never was to stay there at that mountain. It was always leading them further, always into the promised land, always something else that God had intended for them all along. And so we want to break in and listen to Moses as he addresses the people. And I'll read to you from Deuteronomy chapter 1. I'm going to begin with verse 6 if you would like to follow with me. "The Lord our God said to us at Horeb, 'You have stayed long enough at this mountain. Break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites. Go to all the neighboring peoples in the Arabah, in the mountains, in the western foothills, in the Negev along the coast, to the land of the Canaanites, and to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates. See, I have given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land that the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to their descendants after them.'" This was a critical time in this infant nation of Israel. They had to make a choice not so different than what Powell and Howland had to make there along the Colorado River. Would they continue to pursue the journey they were on, or they would go on a different journey altogether? This was a life-changing moment for the nation of Israel. And today we stand before God as a congregation, a very similar place. God is calling us to move towards something incredible. He is leading us as a church to be able to change lives by leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus. I believe that God has a dream for our church. I believe that God has a dream that can become reality if we will boldly follow Him with renewed faith. I want to do two things this morning. First, I want to honor the past, but I also want to cast a vision for the future of where we believe God is guiding our church towards. So to begin, I want to say hats off to the past. What an odd saying. When's the last time you ever said hats off? Anybody remember that saying? You remember doing things that nobody wore a hat into church this morning, did they? Okay. You know, it's an odd saying. It's an old saying. Years ago when men wore hats much more often than we do now, actually when we actually dressed up as a society, much more than what we do now. But years ago, men, when they come into a building, they would take their hat off. It was a sign of respect. Or when they would see each other walking on the road, they would maybe tip their hat as like a way of admiration or a way of showing appreciation to people. And in a way, Moses was doing that with the nation of Israel. And he would do time after time, he would remind people of God's faithfulness in the past, how God just showed up and God did incredible things. And see, there were miracles that still amaze us to this day. And Moses would remind the people of those great miracles that God did. He would remind the people of the plagues that the Lord brought upon their captors in Egypt. He would also tell them about the way that God parted the Red Sea and led the nation through on dry ground. He would tell them about the way that God brought water just out of a rock. That was a miracle that God did. He would say, every morning we wake up and there's this manna. Every morning we wake up to a brand new miracle. That's what they saw, and that's what Moses reminded them. He was often pointing them back to miracles that came from the hand of a faithful God. There were answers to prayer that continue to astound us. 400 years of people praying did not fall on deaf ears. God answered their prayers, and He mightily did work in their lives to lead them and to rescue them. And God is leading them into that promised land. And they when they were in Egypt, they would pray that God would rescue them and lead them to the place that He promised them. They claimed the promises of God, and God delivered. And God was faithful. And oh, there were some people in their past Moses would bring up. He'd remind them of the faith of Abraham. He'd remind them of the laughter of Isaac, of the perseverance of Jacob, the integrity of Joseph. Yes, their past was an amazing story of the faithfulness of God. Do you know something, though? As a congregation, we have a pretty amazing story because we have a pretty amazing God. God has done some incredible things. Nearly 100 years ago, way back in 1925, 14 charter members gathered in the home of Reverend C.P. Cutruff, and they formed the Wesleyan Methodist Church of Independence, Iowa. By the way, none of you are charter members. I just want you to be assured of that. You're not any charter members. They've all gone to heaven. But, you know, 14 people gathered in the basement of the pastor's house. That doesn't seem like much. But there is a great saying, little is much when God is in it. Amen? Little's much when God's in it. 14 people, a pastor and God, they showed up in that pastor's basement, and God began to do an amazing work in that church, and God helped that church to grow, and they quickly outgrew the pastor's basement to the point in 1934 that they bought or purchased, or it was given to them. I haven't tracked all this, but somehow they brought a wooden church building, which was the old Pleasant Hill Church just outside of LaPorte City. They brought it all the way from LaPorte City through Independence, and they planted it right here on this property, 1934. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? By the way, I don't think any of you were part of that move either. It was kind of a Saturday workday project. Okay, guys, we're going to move the church today. Man, they were hardy back then. So they brought the church, they planted it here, and guess what? That church kept growing. Because that congregation, they were intentional about taking the gospel of Jesus Christ into this community and throughout this county, and they shared Jesus and what Christ can do in anybody's life. They added on to that building. They added 50% more seating into that building. If you're interested, that's the inside of the old church building right there. They actually had the old wooden movie seats. Crazy, but that's what they had back then. They added on to the church, they added on to, made the lobby bigger, and they did a lot of work down in the basement, and that church was going gangbusters. And then New Year's Day, 1969, some of you might remember this. New Year's Day, 1969, that old wooden church building caught fire. It burnt so much that it really could not be saved. So they tore that building down. By the way, the next Sunday, you know where the church met? In the pastor's basement. That's where the church met again. They're back to the pastor's basement now. And it was in that basement of a pastor, might have been Anderson or might have been Ola Campbell. I'm not sure. But it was in the pastor's basement that the congregation of the Wesleyan Methodist Church of Independence, Iowa, that they made a bold decision. They believe God is not finished with us yet. And that morning, they decided that they were going to rebuild a church, and they renamed the church Hope Wesleyan Church. The belief was that hope was rising up out of the ashes of that old church, just like God can raise hope out of the ashes of any broken, burnt-out life, and God can make something brand new. Isn't that awesome? What an incredible vision that those people had back then in 1969, that they saw that God was not finished and God was going to do something great. And so in a mere 10 months from that Sunday morning in January, they constructed and were able to move into the building that you and I sit in right now. That's incredible. At the cost of $40,000 back in 1969, which translates to about $260,000 in today's money, they built this building to the glory of God, to advance the kingdom of God. That congregation was so blessed. It was exciting to be part of that church. It was so neat to go back in the archives and to look at what God was doing and the people that God was bringing. I mean, the church grew to over 200 people in Sunday school alone. It's amazing times that God was working and God was moving. Our congregation has an incredible history of ministers. I'm going to read the names of some of the pastors that have served here. Now, as I do, I want you guys to participate with me. So I read the names. When I come across the earliest pastor's name that you remember, just raise your hand and keep it raised, okay? Hopefully, by the end of this list, we will all have a name raised, or a hand raised, okay? If not, you're not paying attention. All right, here goes the names. Pastors by the name of Cutcruff, Griffin, Barnett the First, Weigel, Treese, Pryor, Freiheit, Rump, Campbell, Yarrington, McMurphy, Anderson, raise your hands high, Nabolds, Dyer, Johnson, Ellsbury, Allen, Barnett, Fawcett, McPherson, Caprina, and me. That's pretty awesome. Wow, that was like a climax there at the end there. That's cool. Man, what an incredible... The 24 ministers have served God by leading this congregation in nearly 100 years. What an incredible, incredible blessing that God has given this congregation. I tell you, it is scarce to find a Spirit-anointed preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have been blessed with some incredible ministers. We should thank God that He's done that for us. But you know, no church is any good if it doesn't have good people, right? You might have a great shepherd, but if you don't have good sheep, it's kind of hard to do much. And we have some incredible people. I dug through the archives. Literally, I was standing in, I was climbing in and laying on top of stuff. Almost said junk, but good stuff in a closet. And I found an old box. Oh, it is so cool. And some of the things in there, they're great treasures. And I found pictures of some amazing people. And I thought, right now, we need to do a little guess who game. All right? See if you guys know. Some of these people you will know, some of them you might not know, and that's okay. But let's just see who. If you know a name, just go ahead and stick your hand up, and we'll go with that. So, you ready for some guess who?
Yeah.
Come on now. You ready for some guess who?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, the very first picture. Who was that? I see a hand. Max Allen and his family. What was his wife's name?
Jane.
And their son? Jane and Mark. You guys remember them? What a great... Yeah, I don't either, but...
I don't think I was born yet.
Okay, well, so you're safe there. Yeah, Max Allen, they led our church in the 80s, almost the entire decade of the 80s. I think it was like 82 to 89, so a great pastor that God led. Okay, the next family that we found here, here's a couple people. Anybody recognize those guys? Who's on the keyboards? Carl Dodge, and who's playing that guitar? Who's that good-looking guy? Dan, Dan Howlett. Man, you guys didn't know we had things like that back in the archives. Thought we destroyed those, but oh no. Good-looking guys. Carl Dodge, Dan Howlett. The next picture, let's see who we got going on here for the Guess Who game. Going back in the day. Raise a hand if you have a guess who that is. Oh, you're right? Is it the Carstens? It is. How many are shocked at that? Yeah. How many remember the Carstens back then? Yeah. They get better looking all the time. That's what's incredible. All right, moving along. Okay, Diane, I saw your hand. Keith and Linda Smith. Bonus if you can name the boys. Is she right? She's absolutely right. Yeah, good job. Pulled that out of the 1988. Would it be around 1988 church directory? Maybe a little later than that.
Yep.
Okay, we can quibble about that after church. All right, going on. We're moving forward here. Okay, who remembers this? Millie Freeburn. Yeah. I have heard of her so much. I can't wait to meet her in heaven. Many people are part of this church today because she brought them here. Yeah. Okay, moving on. Any guesses who that is? Is it Judy Miller? She's still denying it. Why are you holding an umbrella? I don't know. Okay. I have no idea, but we couldn't pass that one up. Moving on to the next one. Guess who this... Okay, there are six people in here. All right. Be able to name all six of them. All right, let's try to pick somebody who's... Okay, you're figuring it out. You guys got it figured out? Okay, Heather.
Merlin Dodge, Larry Carson, John and Bonnie Clark, and Tom and Donna Cotkin.
Is she right? Yeah, this is so cool. This little note was right here, and it says, driving for Jesus. Thank you for picking up folks who need a ride to church. You are salt and light. Praise God. What incredible people God has brought into our church. Okay, next one. Bob Richter, got any guess who that might be? Could that be your wife by chance? Yes, I think it is. All right. Yeah, cool carpet too. I like that shag. It's nice. All right, moving on. This was so much fun. Keith, got any guess who that might be? You think? Rich and Shirley Siemens and their girls? Yes, it is. Excellent. Wow. Still got that suit, Rich? Yep, he does. Okay. All right, see who we got on the next one here. Okay, this is the last one, and they are in disguise. I will tell you that much anyway. I believe, Virginia, would you like to tell us about this picture? She don't want to say anything. Oh, she still hadn't figured it out yet, huh? Yes, it is Virginia Cooper. Thank God he's done a work in your life. And just grateful. Oh, my. What incredible, incredible people. It was so much fun. If you want to look at some old pictures, I can show you them. Oh, we can have a great time. But you know what? These are people, some of them are no longer with us. Some of them still are. But you know what? A church has been blessed here in Independence. This church has been blessed by just astounding people. God has used us to witness to this community and throughout the world for Jesus Christ. Hey, guess what? Israel, they had people who inspired them. So do we. Israel, they experienced God's answers to prayer. Guess what? So have we. Israel, they had God doing incredible miracles. Guess what? So have we. I want to tell you just one miracle that comes to my mind. It was when they were moving the church building from on a steel-wheeled tractor from LaPorte City all the way here to Independence. It's such an incredible story. It's not an easy thing to move a building anyway. A lot of people are involved, and a lot of things have to go right in order for that to be successful. One of the volunteers was a guy by the name of John Daniel Lawless. This would be Lisa Fischel's grandfather. His job was a very simple one. He was placed on top of the church. As they were pulling that church through town, his job was to lift the power lines up, and they would pull the church underneath. You don't want to rip the power lines down. We were assured that all the power in those wires was shut off. And it was, all except one power line. And when John reached down and grabbed that wire to pull it up so the church could go underneath, he was, of course, immediately electrocuted. He was knocked off the church building. He fell straight to the ground. The doctors believe he died right there as he was electrocuted with that jolt of electricity flowing through his body. But when he hit the ground, he was revived. It's crazy. I know, it is crazy to think about. I mean, yes, his hair did turn immediately white. True. And yes, he did lose an arm. That is true too. But God raised him from the dead. That's a miracle, don't you think? Amen. I mean, come on, people. That's what God did that day. Thank God for that. What an incredible, incredible miracle. That's what God did. We are amazed at the faithfulness of God. He's good. All the time. All the time, God is good. The great news is God is not finished with us yet. Just as that congregation said in the pastor's basement in 1969, so I get to proclaim today, God's not finished with us yet. I believe as good as the past has been, the best days of Hope Wesleyan Church are ahead of us. Now is not the time for us to abandon and climb out of the canyon and walk away. Now is the time for us to renew our faith and move boldly into the future that God is leading us toward. Moses knew that was true for Israel. He said, you guys can't stay in this mountain. No, there's something yet to do. He would remind them of the miracles of the past, and he would tell them of all those great things, but he would also say, as the songwriter says, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till you see the miracles that God is about to do, Moses would tell them. He would say, God has answered prayers in the past, but you just wait and see the way that God answers prayer for us in the future. Oh, they had great leaders of the past. Moses would remind them of that. But just wait until God raises up Joshua. Just wait until God brings them King David. Just wait until God raises up King Solomon. Listen, the best days of Israel were not at Mount Sinai. They were ahead of them, and they had to walk toward that in order to experience it. Yeah, we say hats off to the past. I'm grateful for our past. We are here today. We are standing on the shoulders of other people's faith. And we're building on that. Because our best days are before us. Hats off to the past, but I also say coats off to the future. It's time to roll up our sleeves. It's time to renew our work and to dig deeper than ever before into the goodness, into the blessing of God, and to share His kingdom farther and faster than what we've ever done before. Do you ever wonder why God didn't just let them stay at Mount Sinai? I mean, that was a great place. But there was a land to possess. There was a place that God wanted His kingdom to be established and expanded. And it was called the Promised Land. And for them to stay at Mount Sinai, they would not be fulfilling their vision. There were people to reach. Israel was to be a light to the nations about the goodness and the graciousness of our Heavenly Father. Seems like an odd thing anyway, when you read through the Old Testament, you're just reading a lot about this history, about this nation, about how they did and how they didn't do, and all their failures and some success along the way. Do you ever wonder, what was the real purpose behind Israel anyway? It's not as hard as you might think. The simple purpose of Israel is to bring Jesus into this dark world. Take a look back at what I was given after church last Sunday. It's a blast from the past. It really is. It's an old church bulletin that survived all the way from April 24th of 1988. It was in the media room. What that says about our current cleaning lady, I have no idea. But it was there anyway. And they said, hey, look what we found, a church bulletin from 1988. Don't we ever throw anything out around here? No, we don't. We save it all. We believe in saving. But in that bulletin, Max Allen was the pastor then. In that bulletin was our statement of purpose. And that's what I have here for you. It says here, our purpose. In obedience to the commands of Christ, we, the people of Hope Wesleyan, Independence, Iowa, are committed to the following objectives. First, to encourage an atmosphere of scriptural worship that fosters reverence and godly fear. Second, to evangelize those in our geographical sphere of influence. Third, to disciple believers in the faith and equip them for victorious living and effective ministries. And fourth, to reach toward global evangelism by our influence, prayers, gifts, and personnel. That is what the church rallied around. Said, this is why we do everything that we do. Now, we have modified, we reworded the church mission statement, but it is saying the exact same thing. We say it a bit more succinctly, but it's saying the same thing. We are changing lives by leading others into a growing relationship with Jesus. Will you all just read that with me? Just to be a reminder for us why God has us here, why we do what we do. Changing lives by leading others into a growing relationship with Jesus. That is what we do. There is a land to possess for the kingdom of God. It is known as Independence, Iowa, and Buchanan County. That's why God has us here. There are people to reach. We've done the research. We've looked at the census material. We've looked at surveys, and we've dug deep into this, and we've discovered that 10,000 people within 15 minutes of our property are not connected with any local church. There's a purpose that God has for us to fulfill, and God has no other plan to fulfill this purpose than to use you and me to see His kingdom come here in Independence and throughout Buchanan County, and to see His will done in the hearts of boys and girls and men and women and moms and dads. Our best days are not behind us. Our best days are ahead of us. And we are boldly stepping in to God's preferred future. Today, we formally begin a new chapter of our church's history. It's called Everlasting Hope. Many leaders have been gathering and praying and meeting and strategizing, pressing into God and trying to find what He wants. Many of you have been praying for us as we've looked into this, and it's taken months in the planning, and we believe God has led us to a strategic plan that includes transforming our fellowship hall into a dynamic children's ministry space. It will be a fun, energetic area where kids will love to attend, and they want to come back, and they want to bring their friends. With updated technology, with lighting and different seating, our sanctuary and our lobby will become very flexible spaces that will help us to reach the generations today and the generations to come. This is a big deal for our church. This is a critical time in the history of Hope Wesleyan Church. And to do it right, we need to raise $300,000 over the next 3 years. We need God's help, and we need your partnership. How can you partner with God and with others here in our church for the future? Here's where you can begin. come to a dessert night this week. They begin tomorrow evening, and there's a sign-up sheet right outside on the lobby table. There's lots of them. They start on Tuesday evening. Tomorrow evening is the board meeting, so no desserts there, sorry. But we will start this week. This is the time that we're going to answer questions. We're not collecting money at these dessert nights. We're answering questions. We're helping you understand what God is leading us toward. We're eating some great desserts, and we're hanging out with some amazing people. We ask you to commit to pray. Each family has, on the foyer table, you have a Everlasting Hope prayer guide that was produced by people right here in our church. People who pray are going to lead us in prayer. And so it begins tomorrow. You haven't missed anything yet. So if you already prayed today, that's great. So grab one of these on your way out of church. And there's a little devotional there and a prayer starter. And that'll get us all praying in the same direction for God's will to be done. This will be so helpful for us. Make sure you come to the prayer night on September 29th. Also, commit to reach your one. Commit to reach those people in your life. Build relationships with people who are just a few steps away from Jesus. You're wondering, well, who are they? You know, a lot of them were at the Falcon Center yesterday afternoon. We got to meet them. Open your eyes. Begin to see people and through the eyes of grace. I mean, we saw that picture of Virginia Cooper. Look what God has done in her life since. You know? In the same way, we look at people where they are right now. They might look like, well, okay, but guess what God could do for them? See them as they can be by God's grace. Also, I'm praying that you would cultivate a spirit of generosity. Ask God how He would like to give through you financially and how He'd like to give through you, through your volunteering and through your sweat equity, your time and your energy. This is a big deal for the church. We've just walked a few steps down the riverbank this morning. I'm sharing you my heart. I truly believe God is in this. And He has confirmed that to me and to the leaders of the church in incredible ways that we have taken these steps forward. And I'm asking you to join me as we continue to go down the journey. As we continue to follow God as He's leading us through the best days of our church. Mother Teresa said this, "I can do things you can't do. You can do things I can't do. Together, we can do great things. Because we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength." I'm going to ask you to pray with me. And I'm just going to ask you, if you would like to stay seated, stay seated. But if you feel God is kind of prompting your heart and just saying, "I want to be part of this," as I pray, I'm just going to ask you to stand where you are. Please join me as I pray and stand as God prompts you. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank You for the privilege of being part of this church called Hope Wesleyan. What an honor it's been to lead this great church over the past 11 years. I thank You so much for the privilege of being able to rub shoulders with amazing people, people who know how to pray, people who believe in You, people who are committed to the kingdom work, people who want to see Your kingdom come and Your will done. Lord, we have just taken a few steps down the side of the river and we've had to have a conversation. Lord, we just want to know what Your mind is. We just want Your will to be done. We believe You're leading us. But we give You full right of way to do whatever You want to do in us and through us. And so as we stand before You this moment, we commit ourselves to You more than ever before. Yes, we celebrate our past. We are so thankful for all the people and the pastors and the answers to prayer and the miracles that You have done. And we continue to rally around the one that they look to as we walk into our great future together. We believe if God is for us, who can be against us? So we who are standing here this very moment commit ourselves to the work of your kingdom through Hope Wesleyan Church for the glory of God and all God's people said. Amen.